Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is Genesis chapter 38, verses 1 through 30. The Reverend Sean Dinser is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Genesis, the 38th chapter. It happened at that time that Judah went down from his brothers and turned aside to a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. There Judah saw the daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shuah. He took her and went into her, and she conceived and bore a son. He called his name Ur. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called his name Onan. Yet again she bore a son, and she called his name Shelah. Judah was in Kezib when she bore him. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Go into your brother's wife and perform the duty of a brother-in-law to her, and raise up offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his, so whenever he went into his brother's wife, he would waste his seed on the ground, so as not to give offspring to his brother. What he did was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and he put him to death also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his brother-in-law, daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow in your father's house till Shelah, my son, grows up," for he feared that he would die like his brothers. So Tamar went and remained in her father's house. In the course of time, the wife of Judah, Shua's daughter, died. When Judah was comforted, he went up to Timnah, to his sheep shearers, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. And when Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep," she took off her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil, wrapping herself up, and sat at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown up, and she had not been given to him in marriage. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. He turned to her at the roadside and said, "Come, let me come in to you," for he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. She said, "What will you give me that you may come in to me?" He answered, "I will send you a young goat from the flock." She said, "If you give me a pledge until you send it." He said, "What pledge shall I give you?" She replied, "Your signet, and your cord and your staff that is in your hand." So he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. Then she arose and went away, and taking off her veil, she put on the garments of her widowhood again. When Judah sent the young goat by his friend the Adullamite to take back the pledge from the woman's hand, he did not find her. And he asked the men of the place, "Where is the cult prostitute who is at Enaim by the roadside?" They said, "No cult prostitute has been here." So he returned to Judah and said, "I have not found her." Also the men of the place said, "No cult prostitute has been here." And Judah replied, "Let her keep the things as her own, or we shall be laughed at. You see, I sent this young goat, and you did not find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has been immoral. Moreover, she is pregnant by immorality." And Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned." As she was being brought out, she sent word to her father-in-law, "By the man to whom these belong, I am pregnant." And she said, "Please identify whose these are, the signet, the cord, the staff." Then Judah identified them and said, "She is more righteous than I, since I did not give her to my son Shelah." He did not know her again. When the time of her labor came, there were twins in her womb. And when she was in labor, one put out a hand, and on the midwife took and tied a scarlet thread on his hand, saying, "This one came out first." But as he drew back his hand, behold, his brother came out, and she said, "What a breach you've made for yourself." Therefore his name was called Perez. Afterward, his brother came out with the scarlet thread on his hand. His name was called Sarah. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Moses speaks of this first part in Deuteronomy 25, that if a man of Israel died without fathering children, his brother was to produce a child in the deceased brother's name with his widow. Moses records that if a man would not do that, that widow is to publicly shame him before the elders of Israel. She's to remove her brother-in-law's shoe, which I don't understand, and she's to spit in his face. That definitely communicates. So is done to the man who will not build the house of his brother. Now we know that we are not subject to this command and this custom, thank goodness, since we are not children of Israel according to the flesh, and because we have the very clear words of Jesus himself that abrogate Moses in this manner. Marriage is to be as it once was in the beginning. One man cleaves to one wife, and the two are not to separate unless death should separate them for them. Even so, when we read the Old Covenant with all of its ceremonies and political customs and in many and various ways, we do not find them to be many and arbitrary, useless ways, but still instructive ways to us. Even, let's just say, what happened to them was written down for our instruction on who the end of the age has come. It is shameful for a man to refuse to build the house of his brother. We might pare back all the laws and the customs and the root of this and see that it is selfishness. It is arrogance. We're not bound to build the house of our brothers, whether that's little brothers or metaphorical brothers, by lending family members to them. But we are, if you recall Cain from near the beginning of our Genesis reading, we are our brother's keeper. This law says that doesn't end just when the man dies. Now, one might want to leap away from all of this unpleasantness to Christ's fulfillment of this text, how for the sake of the promised seed, this whole chapter happened to Judah and Tamar, preserving that line of Judah and Perez on down to our Lord Jesus Christ himself by the Virgin Mary. For the sake of this, certainly, Onan failed to do his duty, and Judah failed also in faith as the father-in-law. You see this, I think, in the signet and in the cord and in the staff, how the scepter actually does depart from Judah, passes over his sons in this wickedness, and yet is kept safe with Tamar, and she is kept safe by it, and then it gives truth to Judah's blessing that he receives at the end of his father's life. But this too is to risk spoiling the Joseph saga that we've interrupted. We're waiting to hear the end of a beautiful tale of God working evil for good. We must not put away the strangeness of this chapter only in the promise of Jesus Christ, as if the law and the prophets otherwise were contrary to the promises of God, or as if the Bible could be reduced to just the nice parts. Just the gospel. As you know, we've had trouble with that in the past. We do this because we're uncomfortable with the premise that underlies the whole story here, aren't we? How in the world would somebody desire children so much that they would do all of this? How would they think that the next generation is so important that even one of the clear commands from Moses earlier in Deuteronomy would have to be circumvented by another custom and command? You see, Onan is wicked because he is selfish. That's right. He will do the deed, but he won't do the duty. And you can only comprehend the wickedness of that thing to which God has testified very clearly. The one thing I definitely understand from this text, he kills him. You can understand that this is wicked only by realizing that he was, in the opinion of all in today's text, including God, omitting the best part. Judah is wicked when he treats his daughter-in-law like she's a black widow. And Judah goes off to comfort himself with cheap thrills, and everybody seems to know what he's going out to his sheep-shearing frat buddy to do. But there's more. She's a cult prostitute in his mind, so Judah is being an idolater and thinks this is of no consequence. At the end, of course, when his daughter-in-law is found to be pregnant, then he remembers laws and customs again suddenly. He's very intent on seeing them through in her death, in the death of his grandchild, maybe at this point the only one that he would have. And that is a hypocrisy that is worth noting. But underlying all of it is a simple fact that children are very good and that selfishness is not. And it's always been our understanding that those two truths go together. And also that the opposite is the case, that the thing that keeps people, if it is their choice at all, from children, is usually some form of selfishness. Now, it is very clear to us that all of this is sin in today's text and is not to be imitated by us. But if we're not in danger of imitating those things, let us at least consider what selfishness has plagued us, whether in the matter of children or anything else. That will tell us then what we must repent of. And when we have considered that, let us pray that the Lord will restore us as he seems to have done for Judah, to wake him up, that he's no longer running off to other places, ignoring the people of Israel, ignoring the true God, along with all of his commandments and his customs too. For yes, that is the true God who is born of the flesh of Adam and of Judah, and of Tamar, Christ Jesus our Lord. In him we are forgiven. And let us find comfort in that, and let us know that his eternal life is what also gives us hope and confidence to trust him with life for the future as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about the LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.